I will request Radha Priya Mataji to kindly speak and Giriraj Prabhu to please come.
Hare Krishna. Stoka Krishna Prabhu is such a wonderful person, very kind, very gentle, always conscious that he doesn't hurt anyone's feeling, always very loving to children and very respectful to his seniors. And we had good fortune to have his association. Just before he left this world, one day it was a Thursday, he just phoned Krishna Chandra Prabhu and he was talking. Just 2-3 days before, he was so serious, he was just his pressure was very down and he couldn't recognize anyone. But Krishna Chandra Prabhu got the phone call and we both went to see him. And seeing him, his mood, his consciousness, his alertness, we were very, very surprised. Because only Krishna Chandra Prabhu asked him, please don't have any anxiety, don't have any worries. And he said, I have no worry. Only worry I have that I don't offend anyone. I always want to hear from my Guru Maharaj that Guru Maharaj can say that I am very proud of you. And he showed to all of us how to leave the world, and that the Guru Maharaj is very proud of him. Whatever Krishna does, everything is so perfect. When someone very close to you, leave the world, then we feel it. But the way he has left this world, and Govind Prabhu has described in such great detail, and his consciousness was so good that everyone would be very, very proud of him. And just be pray that we also can have this type of death. So Soka Krishna Prabhu has perfected his life and his departure. So we all are very proud of him. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mataji. Giriraj Prabhu, kind. I request Damodar Pandit Prabhu, if he is here. Sanat Kumar Prabhu.
After Stoka Krishna Prabhu came to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, his simplicity of his heart and acceptance of such a major disaster with such a ease, he completely won all of our hearts. And we all the doctors and all the staff members of hospital, we completely became attached to Stoka Krishna Prabhu. And through his stay at Bhaktivedanta Hospital and through different services we are trying to do for him, we became very much closed and very much attached to him. Many years back, I remember when he was in a brahmachari ashram, one year during book marathon distribution time, he distributed maximum number of the books, and I was told that he had a one simple weapon with him, and that was his smile. And with that weapon, he could sell maximum number of books. With that same weapon of smile and simplicity of heart and complete dedication to the lotus feet of his spiritual master, he fought this greatest of the battle and scored 100% marks in this test. As the days were approaching, we all knew the day I got final his MRI report, I spoke to the concerned cancer specialist, and he told me that such diseases, even 2 year survival is only 20%. That out of 100% of such disease affected people, only 20% people survive for 2 years. So we knew that time was very short, and he also knew, but he made this thing appear so easy and so simple in the book of His Holiness Indradyumna Swami, during passing away pastime of His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj. His Grace Amrish Prabhu made a comment that His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj made his passing away so simple and so easy without any high drama. So one day I went to Stoka Krishna Prabhu and shared this episode with him. The Prabhuji thinks we know, but still you are making it so appear so natural, so smooth and so easy, as if a great surgeon makes a very difficult surgery. Through his expertise, it appears that it's a very, very easy surgery, although it was not difficult. We have seen as a doctors many patients when they lose their power in their both limbs, and what anxiety, what depression, what frustration they go through. And here is a young person who has got all the ability, and when his both limbs, his power went away, we never ever even once saw him going through any form of disturbance of the mind. He accepted all these things as a part of his journey going back home, back to Godhead. Many times we will make fun with him. At one stage, for a short time, miraculously, even today I feel how it happened, I don't know, that he regained his both power in his both limbs. And myself and Dwarkadish Prabhu, we were so happy. And we both were joking with him that, Stoka Krishna Prabhu, on the date of Gaur Purnima, you are going to dance and Giriraj is going to play harmonium. And we all three were laughing that his illness, he never made it so appear so gloomy, at least to all of us. His room was so wonderful in the hospital or even here. All those most wonderful photographs of deities, Guru Maharaj, and all the different places of Vrindavan and other holy places, that sight of the room will always remember in our hearts. When he was in the hospital once, amongst many great souls visited him. One of them was His Holiness Jayadvait Maharaj. And when Jayadvait Maharaj visited him, there was a one IV line, intravenous line was there. And on the one hook of the intravenous line, all the medicines were hanging. And on the other side of the hook, there was a photograph of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And His Holiness Jayadvait Maharaj just looked at that photograph and he made a comment. He said, "Oh, Stoka Krishnaji, this is a special dripa. This is a special IV dripa. It's a Prabhupada's kripa dripa." Actually, it was a truth that Stoka Krishna was receiving direct mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our entire Guru Parampara through our Guru Maharaj and all these exalted Vaishnava in this final passing away of his pastime. As Dwarkadish Prabhu was saying, and His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu once said, that nothing happens in Krishna consciousness by chance. It's not just a chance that he was here in the temple, Guru Maharaj was here, Vaishnavas were here, Brijvasis were here, wonderful garlands and petals from Vrindavan came here. All these things actually he had earned. He lived his life and he earned this greatest of the greatest fortune. And that is why his passing away has left such a deep impact on all of our hearts that yes, this process of Krishna consciousness works. This process of surrender, shelter to the service of our spiritual master works, and Vaishnava's mercy always works. Thank you very much, Stoka Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Sanat Kumar Prabhu, and I request Gopi Priya Mataji to be kindly come forward.
It is said that how an athlete finishes a race determines how well he is placed in the medals tally. So similarly, the level of Krishna consciousness a person is able to maintain at the critical moment of death reveals the exalted position of the devotees. So it's not how you run the race, but ultimately it's important is how you finish the race. And is the one who finished the race successfully. So many times this question comes that during the life, the Krishna puts so many obstacles in the path of practicing devotees. But in order to bring out his best, and we see in the case of Stoka Krishna Prabhu, the amazing virtues that he displayed in his long-drawn struggle against a very painful and debilitating weakness. Even up to the last moment of his life, he remained peaceful, never complained about anything, and always remained grateful. I remember when he joined in the year 93, it's like Stoka Krishna, he gave us some hope and respite to the management when he joined in Brahmacharya Ashram way back in around 93. That was a time of great difficulty when more than a half brahmacharis in the ashram had left, and there was a great difficulty in maintaining day-to-day worships in the temple. And he joined at such a time and immediately started up doing backup and various other services, which gave a lot of relief to the devotees in the ashram. In those days were the days when many were just going out, and he was the person who came in. So I still remember that where I was discussing with Shyamaran Prabhu and others. They were saying it's not that devotees are just walking out, but look, some of them are coming in. So we have definitely a bright future. So I could see like he walked in at the time when we, ashram especially, needed the most encouragement even for us also. In my observations, Stoka Krishna Prabhu has always been aloof from any sort of criticism or envious behaviors towards a fellow devotees. In fact, like a lotus flower, he actively tried to keep distance from any such activities and shun the association of anyone even contemplating such things. So such a pure and unbiased outlook on part of Stoka Krishna Prabhu enabled him to make rapid advancement. One feature of Stoka Krishna Prabhu that most readily comes to my mind is his innocent smile that attracted so many persons to Krishna consciousness. Even while he would be distributing books, many people would accept books from him just by looking at his radiant smile. Then asked once this question, one of his colleagues, he left for USA. So I asked him, about his reluctance to go to USA, where he might have a brighter financial prospect. So he reflected on this and he told me that there is no guarantee of security anywhere in this material world. The best security can we have in the association of devotees, of which he has abundant source here in Mumbai. And he based his opinion on one incident. He knew one devotee who had deposited a lot of his savings from working in the USA in a bank in India, and he was planning to settle down here. However, the bank in which the money was deposited collapsed, and all his hard-earned money was lost, and he was back to square one. So he was saying, just right now, Krishna is giving me indication that I am contemplating to go out, and right in front of me, this example is there, where a person went and is back to square one. So why should I leave the association of devotees, which is the best security I have here, and go away from here? And then Savikashvabhu was, of course, certainly went through some ups and downs in his life. However, his deep faith in his spiritual master carried him all through his bewildering situations, and the end, he came out with flying colors. I remember that's a time when he came all the way to see me in far away in the farm, and he was explaining about his situation to me. And usually he would take guidance from Shyamanan Prabhu or Govind Prabhu. So I said, why you are revealing all this, your mind to me? And I never had so much close interaction with him as he was revealing all his mind status and everything. And he was asking, can you suggest some prayaschitta for me? And since I was out of touch here, I said, let me think about it. I'll speak to my dear God brothers and then I can talk. And still he kept asking me, just tell me what should I do, what atonement should I take. Of course I explained him, as you said, that you spend sleepless night, that itself is an atonement for you. So what more I can suggest? But I could see the way he was repenting for the things which he did. I said that itself purified him from all of his certain shortcomings. And then we saw in the end, like we have seen the process that is given by Sukhdev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. We can see that practically works also. Many times people ask these questions. You are suggesting so many methods of self-realization, but is it practical? Does it work? And we can see in Sukhdev Goswami's example that this process definitely works. At the same time, it brings a glorious results. And I would like to conclude my offering to Sukhdev Krishna Prabhu by mentioning the glorious service of caregivers who served him during his long period of sickness. So all glories to caretakers and all glories to Sukhdev Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. And as Gopi Priya Mataji, I request Rohini Kumar Prabhu to come forward.
Hare Krishna. Like many other devotees in Mira Road, I also got the opportunity to read for Sukha Krishna Prabhu for few occasions. And as I would be reading for him from Chaitanya Charitamrita, he would always be in rapt attention. And since he had severe pain in his limbs, somebody or the other would have to constantly massage his legs. And in between, we could see there was slightly pain could be seen on his face. He would just express that pain. And in between, when his mother would give him medicine, I would pause and let him finish taking the medicine. But he would say, Mataji, please don't stop. Please go on, continue. And I could see that he was always, whatever activity he was doing, or somebody was giving him medicine or massaging him, he was always rapt in hearing. And I was reading the pastime of devotees coming from Jagannath Puri and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees taking bath in the Narendra Sarovar. And they were all having such wonderful water pastimes. And as he was listening, he was just smiling so nicely, as if he was seeing the pastime and he was just relishing the pastime. And seeing him relish the pastime, I was getting more and more inspired to read. So, as it was the experience of many other devotees, it was not that we were reading for him, but we were getting inspired by reading for him. And also, Her Grace Nartaki Mataji, she is not here right now. I'm sure she has many memories of him to share. She would do kirtan during the Kartik month for him. She would sing Damodarashtakam for him every evening. And as once I was reading for him, he wanted to share one pastime while he was staying in the Brahmachari ashram. And he started speaking. He was saying that since Nartaki Mataji was just about to come in to sing Damodarashtakam, he said, she is like a mother for me. She has given me so much support in my spiritual life. I remember when I came with Maharaj as a personal servant to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and as he was going to narrate that incident, two, three devotees came in to meet him. So he became embarrassed and he kept quiet. Then after some time, the devotees met him, they talked with him. As he was always smiling, he smiled with them. He thanked them for coming to meet him. And as they were about to leave, I reminded him that, Prabhuji, can you please narrate that pastime that you were sharing just now? You were just about to share. So he said, he became a little embarrassed. He said, not now, I will tell you later. So I said, okay. And when he was thinking about that pastime, he was just smiling. And I knew that there is something special about it. So after the devotees left, I again reminded him, Prabhuji, can you please share that pastime? And he said, when I came as a personal servant with Maharaj to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, I was carrying his bag and going behind Maharaj. And Nartaki Mataji, she just called me and she told me to do this and that for Maharaj. And now here she is, she's singing for me, she's giving me the remembrance of Krishna. And just see. And he became embarrassed again. He put his head down and he became shy. And he said very softly, how the roles change, how the duties change. And he was so humble when he said that, that I could see that he was completely detached from whatever role he was doing, whether as a brahmachari or whether as a grihastha or whether he was lying down on the bed in his last days. He was always completely immersed in the mood of a servant. Then we hear his appreciation of, by devotees. But it is one thing to be appreciated by devotees, and it is the other thing to be appreciated by the people who are apparently not practicing devotional service. Since we had the good fortune of him staying in the same building in Mira Road, the chairman of the building of the society requested him to accept the secretaryship of the society for 3 months. And he was given the service, seeing his simplicity and good qualities. And just 3 days back, on Thursday, the chairman had arranged a condolence meeting in memory of Soka Krishna Prabhu in Mira Road, in the same building. And she was expressing her gratitude. She is a Catholic lady, elderly woman, and she was expressing her gratitude and her affection for him. She had a great affection for him as her own son. And she was saying that he was such a humble and simple person. The short duration that he had the service as a secretary, He was always equal to all, whether it was a watchman, whether it was a sweeper, whether it was a secretary or the people in the society. He was always very, very equal and the same towards everybody. And I was surprised to hear from her so much affection and gratitude she had for him, that she said because he had the real love within his heart, he could give that love to everyone. And she was appreciating the devotees. And I could see that he was not preaching to anybody. He never preached to her, but he was preaching by his simplicity and humility with whomever he came in contact with. And now, today, she has been so helpful and appreciative of all the Hare Krishna devotees, that she helps the devotees in Mira Road, and she is always very, very positive about her approach to Krishna consciousness. So it is, I learned a great lesson from his example, that he was always very, very simple, humble, and always following in the footsteps of his Guru Maharaj and all the Vaishnavas. So I thank him for all the mercy that he has shared with me, and I request him to pray for me, that I can always remain in the same mood and serve all the Vaishnavas and my Guru Maharaj to the last breath of my life. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. I request Rohini Kumar. I request Vishakha Priya Mataji to kindly come forward.
I know Sto Krishna Prabhu since 1987, since he came to Krishna consciousness, 87-88, we joined together in Belgaum. So today I would first like to speak about his qualities, then his realizations that he told me during his last days, and at the end my conclusion and my understanding of his passing away. So first of his qualities is being grateful. His heart was filled with gratitude. He was grateful for the help he was getting. So many devotees would come and meet him, help him in various ways. So once there was a discussion about whether devotees should continue meeting him, because many devotees would come in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So there was a discussion whether devotees should continue to meet him or we should reduce devotees coming to meet him. So I asked him, should we stop devotees? Does it trouble you, they're coming so often? So he said, no. He said, I want to meet devotees and seek their blessings. Because devotees, they are so busy here in this city of Bombay, it's not so easy to come to Mira Road and see somebody just for a few minutes. So he said, I am very grateful to them. Let them come. Let them give me their association and their blessings. Next, he was very eager to serve, always. I remember it was in 93 or 94 when this Prabhupada's Vyasasan, it was golden before, painted golden. It was not as it is now. So when we joined, Raghupati Prabhu was there, he had joined Sto Krishna Prabhu, myself, and Dayal Nitai Prabhu, Gaurang Prabhu, Paramhans Prabhu, we all had joined. So this paint of that Vyasasan, it had gone almost. It was not looking so nice. So Maharaj asked, is there anybody who can paint it? So Raghupati Prabhu said, I can paint it. He is very expert. So Sto Krishna Prabhu also said, yes, I can also do it. So both of them, They took out the Vyasasan, separated its different parts, and brought one spray painting machine from outside, and they painted it so beautiful, better than any professional person. So when it was painted and fitted again, Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj saw it, and Maharaj said to both of them, this service you have done so nicely and so eagerly, Just by doing the service, you have pleased Prabhupada and you both are liberated. And we see his Stoke Krishna Prabhu is liberated in this lifetime. And Maharaj knew it before only. And another of his qualities, he was non-envious. He never spoke against anybody. As going to express, he would always harass him, chastise him. And we would also. I was his friend. I would always make fun of him and chastise him for so many things. But he never back answered. He was never envious of any of his equal God brothers. Never. Sometimes I would speak about somebody, but he would never support what I was saying. Sometimes he would stop me, that don't say like this, it's not good. But he was never envious. Next is, he was always smiling and he was always happy. And once there was a counselor's meeting held here in the temple, and somebody was mentioning to Maharaj, because Maharaj spoke about him in the counselor's meeting, and somebody said that devotees meet him and then he smiles, speaks to them, and his strain is increased. His physical strain is increased. So maybe we should reduce devotees meeting. So Maharaj said, he said no. He said Stoke Krishna Prabhu's smile is straight from the heart. His smile is straight from the heart, and whether devotees meet him or don't meet him, even if the room is locked, even if he is alone, he will keep smiling. That was his quality. He would always smile. Govind Prabhu, I have seen so many times chastising him, but he would always smile. I remember Stoke Krishna Prabhu, he was very fond of Mahaprasad. Afternoon, Rajbhog, he would clean the plates, bring all the Mahaprasad and he would eat. So, Sanat Kumar Prabhu, I saw once, he chastised him, but he smiled. He smiled. So he would always smile. At the same time, he was very sensitive. He was not a shameless person. He was a very sensitive person. Next is his faith. He was very faith. When he was in Hinduja Hospital, I went there. I spoke to him. That time he had just known that he had got cancer, and still he was smiling. So out of fun, I asked him, "Stoke Krishna Prabhu, your smile, is it because of the ignorance of disease, or is it because of the realization of what you are going to go through?" He smiled. He said, "By your blessings, it should be out of realization of the disease." And he had full faith in Krishna. He said, "By Krishna's faith, I hope that the smiling is out of realization." And then many times, we see when he was in hospital and he was shifted to Bhaktivedanta, and doctors were trying to increase his lifespan so that at least he sees his baby. And then sometimes some devotees and his relatives would come and tell him that maybe your wife should undergo cesarean so that you see your baby earlier. Then he would tell me, he said, "Krishna knows what is going to happen. Why should we interfere in Krishna's plan? If Krishna wants me to see my baby, I will be able to see. If Krishna doesn't want, even if you do cesarean or anything, I will not be able to see." So he had full faith in Krishna. And another of his very important quality that touched my heart is he was very fixed in his chanting, in his vow of chanting 16 rounds every day. Till he came here in the temple, he always chanted his 16 rounds. Always. Haribol Anand Prabhu was there, he knows it. He would always, in not a single day he missed, in spite of his such severe sickness, pain. And just imagine 9 months from May last year till this January, he was on bed. He was not able to move, just on one place. But he never missed his chanting. We fall sick sometimes and we don't chant. Sometimes we are tired, sometimes we are busy, sometimes due to so many reasons, we at least one or two rounds sometimes we postpone and chant next day. But he never I saw him postponing his chanting. He always chanted his 16 rounds. So these are a few of his qualities. Some of his realizations he expressed to me while I was with him in hospital and also in Hinduja for some time. So he said, by this cancer, just because I have got this cancer, I know that Krishna loves me. And he is very personal in dealing with me. He said, Krishna, he is the supreme controller. He can control anything. He can control this cancer. He can just order Yamraj and tell Yamraj to control this cancer. But he never did it. He said, why? Because Krishna knows what is good for me. Krishna knows that if I tolerate the pain of cancer and remember him, then I can make spiritual advancement. So Krishna knows what is good for me, and that is why he is not interfering, he is interfering in my life and is allowing cancer to take place, and that way he is behaving, he is dealing personally with me. He loves me. Then once he said, my situation is like Mrugari. Narad Muni told Mrugari. Mrugari asked him, if I break my bow, what about my maintenance? What will I do? So Narad Muni said, don't worry. You just chant the holy name and I will supply everything. So he said, here I am not doing anything. I cannot work. I cannot move. I am lying here, but I am getting so many opportunities to preach. So many devotees are coming and helping me. Why? Because of Guru's mercy. Therefore, I am able to stay here. And he said, I am just lying down here, chanting 16 rounds, hearing and reading and just chanting. And I am getting all my needs supplied. So that is my situation. I am like a Mrugari. Then once, he said, when I came out of Brahmacharya Ashram, and of course, even I was in Brahmacharya Ashram, sometimes things would happen against my desire, very displeasing to me, very painful to me. People would cause pain to me. But he said, I always saw that the pain I am getting is Krishna's mercy. I saw Krishna in all situations. And because I was habituated to see Krishna in all the incidences, now at this time, I am able to see Krishna even in this cancer. So that is my situation. I said, I am able to see Krishna now because I saw Krishna before. Therefore, I have nothing against anybody. Whoever displeased me in my life, acted in wrong way, he said, I have no slightest bit of, I am not angry at them. I am not at all angry at them. But I know that Krishna arranged this situation. So next, his realization, like Govindpuru mentioned regarding Guru, I would many times argue with him regarding whether Guru makes mistakes or not in the setup in ISKCON, whether Guru makes mistake or not. I would argue with him, discuss with him. So he would always say, no, Guru can never make mistake. I would say, no, you prove me, you show me statements. So he heard Maharaj several of lectures and he collected about 100 or 150 references as to whether Guru makes mistake or not. And then here, when he was shifted, and he passed away on Saturday, and we met on Thursday, myself, Govindpuru, and Sanat Kumar Prabhu. So I was just recollecting, Sanat Kumar Prabhu said, Stoka, you were never envious of anybody, you never back-answered anybody. So I also remembered, Stoka, do you remember, I would argue with you like this. So immediately, he had no strength to speak, but he said, my heart could never accept that Guru can commit mistake. So that never touched my heart. So he had such implicit faith and love for Maharaj. when he started working in Bhaktivedanta, he would get 2,500, 3,000 rupees salary. But that salary also he would come and give to the servant of Maharaj. He would never keep any money for himself because he had so much love for Maharaj. I would chastise him. I would say, "Hey, you keep money with you. You require money. You have to become grihastha." He said, "No." He said, "Till I become grihastha, I will not save any money. I want to give it to my guru." Then, before he was brought here and when he was in Bhaktivedanta and his situation really deteriorated, I went to him and I told him, "I want to ask you one question." With very heavy heart, with stone on my heart, I told him, "I want to ask you a question." He said, "You ask." But I could not ask. I kept quiet for some time. Then he said, "I know what you are going to ask." I said, "What?" He said, "I know you are going to ask me about what is to be done after I leave this body." So I said, "Yes, exactly." Because I said, his wife and in-law stay in one flat and his mother and sister and other relatives, they stay in another place. So normally it is a custom that if somebody dies and then we take his body to his house. So I asked him whether we should take your body to your wife's house or to your mother's house. He closed his eyes and he said, "See, neither is my mother's house my house, nor is my wife's house my house." He said, "My house is Gopinath." He said, "Take me to Gopinath." He said, "I left everything in Belgaum. I left my mother, my house, whatever little possessions I had, to join Gopinath. And now, I have to leave everything. So why should I go to some other place? Let me go to Gopinath. So take me to Gopinath." And he said, then I asked him, "When you leave your body during Antyeshti Sanskar, the rituals," I asked him, "should we call some Brahmin from outside who does this regularly?" He said, "No." He said, "Only devotees. They should chant holy name. They should chant the verse." He liked one verse particularly that is chanted by Madhavendra Puri, Aidina Dayardhananath. He said, You tell devotees to chant this verse and let everyone just chant Hare Krishna. Just do kirtan. I don't want anything else. I'll be most happy." And he said, "Take me to Gopinath." And when he was to be brought here, when his blood pressure dropped, Dwarkadish Prabhu and all of us, we were discussing Madhavanand Prabhu, Giriraj Prabhu, Vaishnava Seva Prabhu. So then we went inside. It was a major decision. It's not an easy decision to stop all medication. So we went inside. Dwarkadish Prabhu was there. He was speaking to him. So they asked him, "See, do you want to go to temple?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I will be very happy if you take me to temple. I want to go to temple." And then he folded his hands. He said, "I am very grateful to you for all your support. I don't deserve it, but you supported me so nicely. So I am very grateful to you. Please take me to temple. I want to go to temple as early as possible." And then he was brought to temple. And we know here, he left his body in the presence of Guru and chanting holy name. It's a very, very rare opportunity to leave your body in the presence of Guru. It's really rare. So he got it. So these are his realizations. And my conclusion of all this incidents and his life is Krishna, out of love for him, out of his non-envious nature, Krishna, he gave him worst of the diseases. Cancer is worst of the diseases. There is no medicine for it, no cure for it. But at the same time, out of love, Krishna gave him best of the facilities. Best of the facilities anyone can get to perfect his human life. Devotees chanting for him. Praying, thousands of devotees praying for him. Literally hundreds and thousands. You must have seen on the day of his Antyeshti Yatra, there were devotees from all three temples. Brahmachari is from Radha Giridhari temple. Brahmachari is from Juhu, Radha Ras Bihari. Brahmachari is from Radha Gopinath. So many congregation devotees from all the three temples. Krishna gave him the best of the facilities. And next, this is the conclusion of my conclusion, is his consciousness, Stoke Prabhu's consciousness. He was so grateful, always grateful for everything that was done for him. So he is really glorious to have this consciousness. And also glorious are all those devotees who helped him. Really, I saw so many devotees went out of the way, really out of the way, to serve him. So glorious is their consciousness. Glorious is Stoke Krishna Prabhu. Glorious is those devotees who helped him. And glorious is the spiritual master, Guru, who trained devotees to have this consciousness. And also glorious is definitely the founder Acharya Prabhupada. Because we see the other day, Jannivas Puhe mentioned in his lecture that going back to Godhead, going to Vaikuntha, is so rare. It's very rare. Only a very, very rare fortunate soul can go to Golok. But by Prabhupada's mercy, so many devotees are going to Golok. So glorious is Srila Prabhupada. So I thank Stoke Krishna Prabhu for allowing me to associate with him. I never realized his importance. I never took enough of his association. I never served him nicely. But at least I pray to Gopinath and to all of you that at least now that he has gone, but his wife, his mother, his child, Krishna Priya, they are there. If I can do some service to them, then I can please Stoke Krishna Prabhu. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Shaka Prematuja, I request Hari Bolan.
Many of us here have known Stoke Krishna Prabhu for many years, and as everybody has mentioned, the most striking thing in his personality was obviously his simplicity and sweet nature, and of course his unmissable smile. Actually, he was one of the persons who had zero ego. He had no ego, and many a times it used to be that he would be one of the easiest and first people on whom people would joke. And he would take it in such a sporting spirit, and not that he would try to hide it also. He would himself openly tell that this one was mentioning like that about me. And one time, it's so, of course, Maharaj was mentioning that when he went to see him and he asked him to remember all the exchanges they had among themselves. So most of his memories were about how he had got chastised by Maharaj. And one time it happened that he was given some service to get something from Radha Priya Mataji, and he made a big blunder, and Maharaj told him that Stoke Krishna Prabhu, he has mastered the art of speculation, and if he was not a devotee, then I would beat him. And he was saying it with so much love and pride that it was such a memorable thing for him. And so many instances of devotees cracking jokes on him and who never took him seriously. And many of us interacted with him for different services in the olden days when the congregation was very small. Many times we used to dress the deities on the altar together, or he would allow us to help him to serve Maharaj at Bhaktivedanta Hospital when he would come there sometimes. And slowly the congregation began to grow, and there was lesser and lesser chance of interaction, especially with Stoke Krishna Prabhu, because he would always want to remain in the background. Then there was a time when our congregation was growing and reducing simultaneously. It was reducing because devotees were leaving Krishna consciousness or blooping because of the lack of love and care in the initial days, which sometimes they would perceive. And now also our congregation is growing and reducing, but now it is reducing because of devotees leaving their bodies. But it is with a lot of love and care, unlike the old days. A few devotees, they left, like Shyam Sundari, Shanagati Mataji, but they left very suddenly and unexpectedly. So they drew emotions out of devotees, but Stoke Krishna Prabhu was the first amongst us, as Krishna Chandra Prabhu said, who gave the devotees time to accept the fact that he is soon going to leave and at any time. And therefore, he drew the virgin love and affection of so many of the devotees from deep within their hearts, because he was first amongst all of us. Almost overnight, he became a very famous person, and he proved the statement of what Ramanand Raya spoke to Lord Chaitanya, that a devotee is the most famous person in the whole universe. Devotees all over the world, especially in Radha Gopina temple, were regularly talking about him. How is Soka Krishna Prabhu? Anybody who would come from the hospital, they would ask, how is he doing? Is he all right? Can we come and meet him? Devotees who would have not even known him and who never traveled to Mira Road otherwise, for them it would be, oh, Mira Road is so far, as if it is going out of station or something. They would take out time during peak hours and they were coming and spending so much time with him. And as Soka Krishna Prabhu himself would say, that he preached more in his life, in this situation, than he could have ever had or he could ever have done if he lived for many more years. To the extent that he was affecting lives of small children also. I'd just like to narrate an episode that happened during South India Yatra. After the Tirupati lecture which Maharaj gave, Maharaj said that we are going to go for darshan of Balaji and we should pray to the Lord that he should give us pure devotional service. So after the lecture, our Sri Ram, who is the son of Leela Manjari and Shiva Thakur Prabhu, he goes to his mother running and he's saying, Mommy, Maharaj has said that we should pray for pure devotion to Balaji. So should I go and tell Balaji that he should give me cancer like Soka Krishna Prabhu, that I can become purified? It was so moving that such a small boy, what he would understand, what is cancer, what it was not, but his presence among the whole congregation had become so, such a highlight that even children were feeling like that. Also one time, many devotees were discussing this. So one time when I had gone to his room to read for him, when I was leaving, I said, Soka Krishna Prabhu, you are so lucky, so fortunate that so many devotees are giving you so much love. So you are becoming more and more wealthy just before you are about to give up your body. I said, I wish I could also get cancer like you and get so much love of devotees. And he was just smiling at me. And when I left the room, I started thinking, sir, what a shallow and stupid statement I made to him. First of all, Krishna would never listen to unpure desires. And even if he gave the cancer, I would not be able to remember Krishna the way he remembered. So it's not such a mechanical thing that I would get cancer and I will be able to remember Krishna just the way he did. In fact, for the first time, when we got to know that he had got cancer and we visited him at Hinduja Hospital, he immediately, his consciousness was so fixed up. He said that, before I leave, my desire is I want to finish Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sir, Mataji, can you come and read Chaitanya Charitamrita for me? I have requested many devotees to come and do that. And I'm going to shift to Bhaktivedanta very soon, so please come over there. So I became very happy to be able to do that service for him. And by Krishna's mercy, I got opportunities very often because of staying close to the hospital. And every time we would read, it was amazing to just see how he would be there. Many devotees were coming and reading, and fortunately, just before we went for the South India Yatra, I got the section when Lord Chaitanya went for the South India Yatra. And every now and then he would stop and he would say, you remember we went to Kurmakshetra with Maharaj and we did like this. And then he would immediately exchange thoughts about that. And sometimes after reading for 1.5 hours, 2 hours, he would close his eyes for long periods of time, and I would think that maybe he's tired and I would stop reading. And as soon as I would stop, he'd open his eyes and he would say, I'm listening. Please continue reading. Don't stop. So he was simply in meditation with closed eyes, and it was such a different feeling reading with him that I could not explain, and even I could not understand that how it was like that. He was completely absorbed, and then he said, Maharaj has told me that I should be absorbed in reading, when I'm hearing about the pastimes. And then, just 2 days before he left, we were reading the Antalila and the pastime about Kalidas and Jadu Thakur. And then when I finished reading for some time, and I was about to leave, he said, Mataji, after we finish reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, please come and read Passing of Haridas Thakur for me. And then the day he decided to move to the temple, many devotees gathered around him at the hospital, and all of us were standing away from him, and suddenly he called me and he said, thank you very much for reading for me, but will you please come to the temple and read the Passing of Haridas Thakur? And suddenly he stopped and then he said, if Krishna gives me some more time then. And it was so, when we heard in the morning that he was so serious that he is being transferred, we didn't know that whether he will survive the journey back to the temple. And he's still conscious of the fact that Krishna is controlling every step of his life, and he did not forget to add that if Krishna gives me some more time then. And of course he was so simple and grateful and genuine that when it was declared that he had got cancer, he still kept smiling. And as Rohini Kumar Prabhu said, that we would doubt that did he understand that he has got cancer. So the doctors also would ask that did you understand the seriousness of the disease. His simplicity was taken as his ignorance, if he is able to come to terms with it. But he very well knew that what he is going to go through and how Krishna's mercy is going to be there. And the only problem with him was that his desires were so pure that Krishna fulfilled all his desires right from the day one. He wanted to come to Bhaktivedanta Hospital from BARC and Hinduja Hospital because of the bad treatment by the staff who was taking care. Krishna fulfilled that desire of him. He wanted to get association of the devotees, and devotees were flooding to come and see him over there. Then he expressed his desire to come to the temple and leave his body and be surrounded by the devotees, his dear godbrothers and Guru Maharaj, and also in the house of Radha Gopinath. And Krishna fulfilled that desire also. And it was such a wonderful sight when his body was leaving the temple, followed by so many of the devotees, that it looked as if Radha Gopinath and the devotees, they prepared and dispatched him back to Godhead. And it was all with the help of Guru Maharaj and the devotees. Guru and the devotees took so much care of everything, and they made the best arrangements for him, that in one sense we all feel that it was such a wonderful departure. But why not with the help of such wonderful God brothers, God sisters and Guru Maharaj. So thank you very much, Stoka Krishna Prabhu, for instilling that faith in us.
I request Haribolan Prabhu, and before we call upon the family members of Stoka Krishna Prabhu, I request Gaurang Prabhu to kindly come.
I would first like to thank His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, because it was Maharaj who had inspired me to go ahead with this service all out. It was Maharaj's mail which came from all the way from US, which were his first instructions to Stoka Krishna Prabhu, that what he should do now because he has got such a terminal disease. After that, there were many instructions which came directly from Govind Prabhu, Gaurang Prabhu, which I took it tried to take it very seriously to serve Stoka Krishna Prabhu. So all this time when I was serving him, I very much felt it was almost like a deity worship for me. But I felt it was too much of an exaggeration to tell these statements comparing it to deity worship. But then I heard Bhavanand Prabhu telling that how he was serving Prabhupada, and it was almost like the same serving as the deities. In fact, Stoka Krishna Prabhu in his final days, he was so pure. He was so pure in heart that anyone who came close in touch with him, they could feel the significance of his purity to such a great extent. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's main three teachings of Jiva Daya, Namiruchi, Vaishnava Seva, how Stoka Krishna Prabhu perfected all the three things. I would just give some instances from my close being to him in his physical association. First is Jiva Daya. So he was himself giving Bhagavatam classes on and off, whether it was Nigdi, whether it was Nasik, whether it was in the temple. But hardly the devotees knew that how much he had to take the strain and pain to prepare those classes and to speak those classes. In fact, even while speaking those classes, we had to really hold the oxygen mask, and he had difficulties breathing. It was not that he was just reciting it. He was holding a printout of the whole class and reading line by line and taking a gap, taking a breath, and again, trying his level best to give this class. So for 15 minutes of a class, he would prepare for 2-3 hours, again, trying to go through it. And he had gone so much of hardship just to give an individual class. Then as Govind Prabhu said, just before he was diagnosed for this adenocarcinoma cancer, in Hinduja Hospital, he had already done preaching by distributing books, by giving these cassettes and so many other things. So he was already into the mood of preaching. Then as Govind Prabhu said a couple of days back to us, that actually he didn't give much Bhagavatam class at the temple, but by his personal example, by his achar, he preached in the last fag of his end of his life, that how one should be attached to spiritual master, how one should be attached to the instructions, and how one should surrender. And among all these teachings, one of the most prominent things was how he showed tolerance at all levels, tolerating physical pain, tolerating and being grateful and thankful to Krishna in all these adversities. We have heard Tatyano Kampa Samiksha Mano, but then to see a person example was really heart-rendering. Then secondly, Namaruchi, how he was so attached to chanting that throughout the all his illness, he was chanting all the rounds. And all the caretakers will agree that any time we had a mistake of not putting on the tape of Prabhupada lecture or Maharaj's lecture or the kirtan, but he was quite alert that any time it was bathing time or prasadam time, he would say, put on the kirtan. He was very, very cautious that throughout the day and night, he would be very eagerly hearing to Harikatha and Harikirtan. His absorption was such that any time, whether it was any devotee's reading, Rohini Kumar Prabhu, Nartaki Mataji, or any other devotee, he could exactly remember that where they had left it last time. So many times I used to get bewildered, how is it that for all the devotees who have read any of the books, he could exactly remember that is the place where you left last time. From that is the point you have to continue. So he was fully absorbed in hearing also. Even to the extent of small minute details, that last time I was shaving him and he said, this is the same blade which I used. So he was so clearly and distinctly remembering every details, minutest things, and all other spiritual activities also. Among Vaishnava Seva, he was serving us more than we were trying to serve him. He was telling his mother that please cook various things and get for the caretakers. And he was making sure that we all took prasad sitting in front of him. So although he was in bed, but he made sure that we are fed, we are taken care of. It was amazing quality to see that how he had such a deep gratitude to serve and to take care of others. Every caretaker is convinced that he was taking care of them, whether it was prasadam, whether it was rest, whether it was any other activity. To the extent that couple of 2 weeks or 3 weeks back before, he just spoke to me 10 minutes, although he was not able to speak because of the lack of oxygen and other things. He was preaching to me that I should not come there to serve him because my mother was also equally ill. So in that state also, he was more conscious and he was more caring for my mother than he himself. So among all these things, he had really perfected and I could give many, many things. Just the last phases which will remark of his qualities. The last Bhagavatam class he heard was of Vishakha Mataji, and he told me, call Vishakha Mataji, and thanked her for such a wonderful class. The last call he made was to Nartaki Mataji, and he was thanking her. For Nartaki Mataji, she did the Damodar Ashtakam throughout the Damodar month, Kartik month. Then she was reading throughout this. And then she was making breakfast, lunch, dinner many, many times. And she gave the love just like a mother to Stokrishnabhu. And he remembered that in made the last call to her. Then, talking of absorption, the first time we had put up the lamination in his room, for half an hour continuously, he was just absorbed in seeing the deity forms in the lamination. And that was his altar and he worshipped it all throughout the time. In the tents, he told me, Haribol Anand, we should have Mangalarti. And we should have Mangalarti at the same time when temple has it. So he said, make sure at 5 o'clock, we will just have the full Mangalacharan, full Guru Puja, everything, Tulsi Arti, Narsingh Arti, like that. So even in spiritual activity, he was completely absorbed in that sense. We brought him for the Vyas Puja, so that time, he had so much of physical pain to be brought all the way from the Bhaktivedanta hospital to the ground and then again back. And he told me, Haribol Anand, I don't require all these morphines and other painkillers. Just the association of devotees is so nice. I am so much enlivened that I am so happy without all these things. This pain is insignificant. I am happy to be with Guru Maharaj and all the devotees. And because he served Radhanath Maharaj as a personal servant, it was definitely Prabhupada's arrangement that Prabhupada's personal two servants, Harishori Prabhu and Shruta Kirti Prabhu, they both came and spent a lot of time with him, giving instructions, giving guidance, telling all the intimate pastimes. To the extent Harishori Prabhu took Prabhupada's mahatooth and touched on his forehead and said, Prabhupada has blessed you. Don't be attached to any things. Krishna will take care of everything. Krishna is taking care of the whole world. He will take care of the family also. When the time comes, just go. He is waiting. So, how it is we see that how all senior Prabhupada disciples also gave the causeless mercy. Then the two servants, I would request them, Rupesh and Sanjay, are they there in the assembly? Rupesh, Sanjay, Prabhu, aap hai? Aap khade rahenge to achha rahega. These are the two servants who were serving Sto Krishna Prabhu throughout the day, 16 hours, 8 hour shift. So we are really thankful to both of you. Hum aapka dhanyavad karna chahenge. Aap unhe kaafi Sto Krishna Prabhu ki seva ki. Dhanyavad. And I would like to end my offering by stating that same prayer which Maharaj told Sto Krishna Prabhu, that you just memorize this verse. This verse was spoken by Madhavendra Puri before leaving his body. He was always chanting and memorizing and speaking this verse. So Sto Krishna Prabhu also followed that throughout his life till the time he said, when my body is burnt, Haribol Anand, make sure that this verse is being chanted. All throughout my body is being burnt. So I will just chant that verse. Ai din dayarth nath hai mathura nath kadava lok se hridayam tadalok kataram daita brahmati kim karomyam. O my Lord, O Master of the Universe, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O Most Beloved One, what shall I do now? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.